Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the sixth chapter. Iyov has not missed the barbs of recrimination that Eliphaz has cast at him, howsoever sugar-coated. Because his friend could not point out to Iyov any specific sin that he or his children committed to justify the intensity of their calamity, he had chosen to focus on Iyov's expression of frustration and rage as proof positive that the suffering is well deserved. Between the lines of the subtle and not so subtle rhetoric, the message was unmistakable. Iyov is not as pure or righteous as he has led everyone to believe. Eliphaz peppered his speech with common aphorism, similar to Kohelet's declaration, "Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov velo yechta." There is no righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Amos Chacham suggests that apparently the author of this sefer wants the astute reader to recognize that those truisms do not resolve the problem of tzaddik viralo and cannot explain the suffering and untimely death of the righteous and the innocent. They cannot explain why a newborn baby dies. They cannot explain the suffering of disease by someone who is clearly righteous. He points out that even Moshe Rabbeinu was not privy to the answers to this problem. In attempting to justify God, Eliphaz has maligned his friend. And in this chapter, Iyov responds with fury at what he considers a betrayal by those he trusted. Lu shakol yishakel kaasi, v'havati b'mozna'im yisu yachad, ki ata mechol yamim yichbad, al ken dvarai lau. The commentaries, and accordingly the translations, differ regarding the word kaasi, and disagree whether it means grief, or vexation, or plain anger. In any event, Iyov cries out, "If my anguish could be weighed, and with my calamity placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas. Therefore my words have been rash and inarticulate." He seems to recognize that his cries of anguish could be misunderstood. Nevertheless, his fury is redoubled, and he can but scream in pain, both physical and emotional. He feels he has become a target for the perverse amusement of God. "For the Almighty has struck me down with his arrows. Their poison infects my spirit. God's terrors are lined up against me." His suffering is intensified by the notion expressed by Eliphaz that these troubles and agony are for his own good. Clearly, his friend has no empathy, believing that Iyov's cries are an exaggeration and are only making his plight worse. A person can usually tolerate even excruciating pain for a short period of time. He can bear it if he believes there is a cure in the offing. One can swallow bitter medicine if there is a chance it will bring some relief. A person will bear nausea and debilitating procedures if she has something to live for. But Iyov feels there is no longer any hope for meaning that can ease the unendurable. Thus he pleads for respite in death. In verses 8 and 9, "Mi yiten tavo she'elati v'tikvati yiten eloka. V'yoel eloka v'yidakeni yater yado v'yivatzeni." Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant my desire. I wish he would crush me. I wish he would reach out his hand and kill me. Even if God will not deign to end his suffering by killing him, he grasps on to one thread of comfort. He clings for dear life to the one thought that gives him some courage and dignity, namely, that he did not hide or repress his honest feelings and thoughts, neither from man nor from God. He will not sugarcoat the truth. Vatihi od nechamati, ve'asalda bechila lo yachmol, ki lo kichadeti imrei kadosh. This 10th verse has been variously translated, based on the determination of to whom the words Imrei Kadosh, the words of the Holy One, refer. Rashi would translate it as, my one sole comfort, even as I tremulously request that God finish me off mercilessly, is that I have not violated any of his holy commandments. According to Rashi, this verse implies that Iov believes that he will be vindicated in the final judgment in Olam Haba. Malbim, on the other hand, suggests that Imrei Kadosh refers to the words of the mysterious figure or angel that appeared to Eliphaz in a trance. Accordingly, this verse is an ironic response to his friend, who quoted that mystical apparition and suggested that Iov should submit and accept his suffering with love and thereby avert death. Malbim would translate this verse as, is that my sole comfort? That I would continue to tremble and be repulsed mercilessly unless I commit to not violate the words of your holy angel? And as for Eliphaz's blessing that Iov will have a bright future, comes the following verses in which Iov gives voice to his exhaustion and despair. Ma kochi ki ayachel, uma kitzi ki aarich nafshi, im koach havanim kochi, im besari nachush. I don't have the strength to endure. I have nothing to live for. Do I have the strength of a stone? Is my body made of bronze? Lacking strength to endure an incurable disease that eats up his flesh and saps his soul, what is the point of prolonging life? Iov's sorrow is exacerbated by the profound loneliness so commonly experienced by people with a terminal disease that alters their appearance and makes them repulsive to themselves and to others. He feels that he has been betrayed by those who should empathize, those who had come to console him, and those who claim to love him can't hide their revulsion and their fear. They have proved to be fair-weather friends. Iov cannot hide his disappointment as he hurls recrimination back at Eliphaz, who seems to be so pious and learned. Lemas mere'ehu chesed, v'yirat shakai yazov. One whose kindness and compassion have melted and are then withheld from his friend has clearly abandoned his fear of God as well. In response to Eliphaz's thinly veiled condemnation, Iov retorts, it is not I who has lost reverence for God, but you. And in the 15th verse he says, Achai bagdu kemo nachal, keafik nechalim ye'avor. My brothers are as faithless as wadis, like seasonal streams that quickly dry up in the heat of the sun. He proceeds to extensively describe the unreliability of riverbeds in desert climates that suddenly overflow with rushing torrents, that failed to irrigate the dry sand dunes, and whose waters quickly dissipate, leaving desolation and destruction in their wake. He mocks his friends who cannot help him bear his grief and pain, and then, having insulted them, he calms down for a minute, and what seems like a subdued tone, Eov adds, Horuni vani acharish, umashagiti havinuli, teach me, and I will be silent. Help me understand how I have erred. Apparently they can't or won't answer. His tone then veers again, and Eov reverts to a tone of outrage, giving voice to his contempt, when his friends begin to turn away, either in shame or disgust. He is spurred to beg, Look at me! Would I lie to your face? Stop assuming my guilt, for I have done no wrong. Do you think I'm lying? Don't I know the difference between right and wrong? And so our chapter ends. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.